The healthcare industry saw an uptick in M&A activity last year, following a slump in deals during the COVID-19 pandemic. New analysis from Kaufman Hall found that a sizable portion of these deals were driven by the financial distress of one party, but there were still many highly strategic combinations of bigger players. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson, and this is Just Healthcare Daily. It's Monday, February 12th. Thanks so much for joining us. Last week, we heard the first part of my conversation with Anu Singh, managing director and leader of the Partnerships, Mergers, and Acquisitions practice at Kaufman Hall, where we discussed how financial challenges drove many of the smaller to medium-sized deals in 2023. In the second part of our conversation, we talk more about how more financially stable health systems are considering less traditional strategic M&A deals and what kind of conversations are happening right now in C-suites. Here's the rest of our discussion. Let's talk about the more strategic deals we've seen among more financially stable hospitals and health systems. We have the deal mergers that cross geographies. We have the complementary service deals, like you mentioned. Can you expand more on what we've seen in the last year and maybe what this really could look like in the long term, maybe 5 to 10 years down the line?
Yeah, and it's interesting. We can almost ladder up from where we were earlier in the conversation. When we had those 0% and 1% operating margin kind of distressed organizations, let's elevate that a little. Let's assume you're at a 5% or a 6% operating margin hospital and doing pretty well. You're a super regional, maybe you're in 2-3 states and you're at about $2 billion in revenue. Ultimately, you're also going to be faced with choices and transformation. And maybe in your market and in your strategic plan as that organization, you felt like investing in a leading electronic health record wasn't necessary for what you need in your marketplace. Well, going forward, to the extent you're looking at clinical variation, to the extent you're looking at clinical and business intelligence models using your own data of how you're providing care, how you're being reimbursed for care, you may make the choice or the determination that as part of our strategic plan, we now need to go access that technology base, that it's worthwhile for us to do it. Well, even at 5% and 6% operating margins, the important rhetorical question that I think executives and for that matter, even fiduciaries of that same organization are going to be forced to ask is, are you going to home grow and develop and secure that intellectual capital base of this new EMR EHR by yourself? Are you going to undertake the 5 or 6 years it might take and steal away bandwidth from executive management and say, this is what we need to do? Or are you instead going to say, well, wait a minute, there might be a different collaborative model who's someone who's been through that experience, who has a knowledge base and know-how to accelerate that, to de-risk that? And in fact, there might be a collaborative model that we should consider with someone, with this being one of many other facets that we should consider. So I think that strategic options assessment of what's best for our organization, it actually does not change whether you're in the 0-1% or in the 5 or 6% as a very critical work step. It's just that the table stakes and what you're looking to accomplish are going to be markedly different between the two.
We've been discussing sort of in the abstract some of the conversations that have had to happen among executives, among fiduciaries, when it comes to their M&A strategies and what they should be considering. But in your role, you get to talk to executives across the country that are really weighing all of this. Are there any themes that have emerged that you've seen as part of these discussions?
I think the word transformation is said a lot and not fully explicated enough in the outside press. And so if you were to kind of unveil what are the real conversations that are taking place with leading health systems across the country, they're serious about transformation. They realize that the inpatient chassis is one that is a critical element of how hospitals serve their communities, but it's not where the specialization is coming. It's not necessarily where the innovation is being driven. And it certainly isn't the part that's driving alternative consumer options. Instead, what's happening is transforming organizations are saying, we have to do something a little bit different inside of that health system to match and to provide parity to what else is in the marketplace. We need to have our system easier to access, whether that's multiple sites outside of the main hospital building, whether that's telehealth, and getting clinical care without actually being in a face-to-face interaction with a care provider. It means thinking about things outside of acute. There are certain markets where behavioral health is increasingly important to actually coordinate care that's inpatient or outpatient. We're seeing organizations go headlong into ambulatory surgery centers or offsite imaging platforms. And so what we're hearing now is when there's a move away from the traditional chassis of what's been there and going deeper for what you can provide for a community, there's an awareness that comes with that that says, well, the expertise that's needed then may not come from another health system. Or if it does, that health system's geography, that health system's adjacency to us is less important than their expertise in this new area that we need to get executed on and accomplished. You're looking for something that's truly complementary, regardless of geographic distance. And that's what we mean by intellectual capital and know-how and resources. That's becoming the new currency of highly strategic transactions and where you find value in a collaborative partner. So I think that is the recognition of that conversation is what's going to drive more strategic aligned partnerships going forward.
I'd like to quickly pivot to another area for just a moment, since we're talking about this transformative element that hospital leaders are thinking about. And it might be new technology, telehealth capabilities, what have you. We saw an explosion in digital health funding during the pandemic because the demand for these services were just huge. But since then, we've seen a pretty significant drop off. And Rock Health recently wrote that a lot of these startups that are trying to break into the healthcare space that had that infusion of cash a couple of years ago, but really don't have as much investment now, are also going to need to look for these strategic partnerships. So do you think we could see more M&A activity in this particular sphere, given the market and given that hospitals and health systems may need what these startups are offering?
I actually think that we could even expand that and say it's not about could. We are seeing the movement of these other types of partnerships. Every number that's been in our report are hospital and health system transactions that are out in the marketplace because they have a trigger to a public disclosure. There's something in a regulatory or other filing, certificate of need or whatever, it varies by state. But the point is they're very tangible transactions you can go out and see. Underneath this activity and almost beneath that tip of the iceberg is an incredible amount of activity. I mean, multitudes of activity from what we're seeing with our clients, where there's something more tactical being pursued, that there's a small urgent care or a small digital health platform in form of a joint venture or a smaller acquisition with a smaller entity that doesn't merit or require a public disclosure. So I think this activity is already taking place right now based on just our existing clientele, that in addition to large change of control and merger type acquisition type activity, underneath the surface is so much more activity that just isn't as transparent in how we report, but it's there and it's happening. And it's on these elements of specialization, innovation, consumerism, and alternative sites of care.
All of these deals happen within a regulatory framework, and federal agencies recently outlined new non-legally binding guidelines for mergers and acquisitions that they'll be taking into account for deals. And this is for the U.S. economy broadly. But how are hospital leaders that you've spoken to reacting to these new regulations, and how could they impact deals in 2024 and beyond?
I think what we first need to assess is these guidelines do call for a market change in where they're going to measure market concentration, particularly if we look historically, that would be inpatient market share. That's typically how hospitals had been evaluated in the past. And maybe that'll change as regulatory agencies, particularly at the federal level, look for other ways to measure market concentration. And I think they'd have to. Organizations right now in health systems are generating, on average, more of their revenue from the outpatient side than they are from the inpatient side. And so one of the things we still have to evaluate here is, I understand the need for anti-competitive activity to be reevaluated, and the need for regulations and a regulatory framework to consider that. But we also have to understand that the industry is transforming itself away from those prior measures. And what the new measures are might be different than what we think they should be. I would also say that a lot of the activity that is taking place, if we go back to the complementary resources and know-how, that's what's driving these transactions. And so I think there's even less of the adjacent or even overlapping service area partnership discussions that are taking place right now. And it's because I think when you're in the position of looking for a larger or more knowledgeable or more experienced partner in the elements of your strategic plan, that again, back to the rhetorical question, can we do this ourselves or not? If you're no longer limited by geography and perhaps even incented to leapfrog geographies, you can actually take a deeper dive to those intellectual capabilities and resource and complementary skill sets or components of service lines and say, well, who's the best at that? Because we all as an industry know that geography is becoming less and less important, but strategy and the ability to execute and perform on those strategy is becoming even more important. So I think everyone should be keeping an eye on the regulatory frameworks and what's there. But I also think that what's being adjudicated on some of the regulatory frameworks and what's being more critically evaluated and rigorously from the agencies is increasingly becoming a reduced reason for a potential partnership.
That was Anu Singh, Managing Director and Leader of the Partnerships, Mergers, and Acquisitions Practice at Kaufman Hall. He joined me to talk about M&A activity in 2023 and what trends we may see in 2024. You can find the first part of our conversation at gisthealthcare.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. And for more on how health systems are navigating strategic options in a transformed operating environment, Kaufman Hall is hosting a webinar on February 26th at 2 p.m. Central Time. You can register at kaufmanhall.com or via the link in our show note. This has been Just Healthcare Daily from Kaufman Hall. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please leave us a rating or a review. It helps other listeners find the podcast. We'll be back with healthcare business and policy news updates tomorrow, as always, in 10 minutes or less. In the meantime, you can check out more insights on healthcare business and policy news at gisthealthcare.com. You can also get these insights emailed directly to your inbox when you subscribe to our newsletter, The Gist Weekly.